is here that needs to make a decision. You see, we're in a fight. We're in a fight for our souls. We're in a fight for our lives, spiritually, our eternal lives. And that fight, that victory has been given to us. It's been given to us through Jesus Christ. But today, we've got to make a decision. Am I going to enter the fight? And if I enter the fight, we need to ask ourselves, am I going to keep on fighting? I know that we are really when it comes to the things around us. I know that when I look on TV or watch the news or whatever it may be, and I don't do that any of that very much, but when I do, I see that there is a fight going on. You know, and I'm so thankful that God has blessed us with a lot of great victories. You know, I think about some great victories that I've got a different mic, fellas. They're all up there telling me to turn the mic on. Sorry. They were fighting with me. Boom, it's on now. We good now, Brother Robert? Alright. Sorry, I threw you a curveball. Those guys are really good. I appreciate them very much. They keep us going. They keep us going with our live stream. They keep us going with our PowerPoint, all the above. But we've had some great victories. And you think about the victories we've had. You know, we've got a list of folks in the elders' office who have either been baptized this year or come our way through placing their membership with us this year. And we could add to those numbers, you know, and we're excited about that. And so there are a lot of great victories. And I think about, you know, Mark and Katie, for instance. They've received a great victory. They've seen their beautiful son Jackson be born, and what a great moment that is. By the way, they are going home from the hospital today. And so if Michelle will be sending out a food list, those who want to serve, if you have any questions about that, you can see her. That's just an aside there. But that's a great victory. And I think about people who've been battling their health and such. Christine Bennett is here this morning. Christine's not able to be with us a lot because she has a lot of health problems. And she's got some stuff coming up, I believe the 25th of this month. And so we need to be praying for her. And there are others that we could go around the room that talk about this morning that there have been challenges. There have been fights. Christine's fighting. She's fighting her health. Others are fighting in their workforce and fighting in their relationships. And we could go on and on. But you know, when it comes down to it, the greatest fight we can be in today is the one for our soul. And we've got everything we need to win that fight. We've got everything we need to equip us so that we can be the type soldiers or participants in this fight we need to be. You know, I talk a lot about Rocky Balboa. And when I think about fighting, my mind goes to Rocky. Well, here's a quote that I came across. He says, "Every champion was once a contender that refused to give up." Everybody, and what that means is this, everybody that is or was the world champion when it comes to boxing, and they were able to knock their opponent out, or in today it'd be a UFC octagon or whatever it may be. They were all contenders at one time, but they weren't satisfied being contenders. They decided they wanted to be champions. They wanted to keep fighting, and so they never, ever gave up. Today, I am not satisfied just being a contender. I want to be a champion. I want to receive that crown. I want to not just fight to stay around for a few rounds. I want to be victorious. And that victory is promised if you and I will never give up. But you know, there's an enemy, right? There's an enemy who is willing to fight till he is bound to hell for all eternity, and his name is Satan. That's why there are passages such as the one found in Psalm chapter 11, verses 1 through 3. in the Lord I put my trust. How can you say to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? For look, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow on the string, that they may shoot secretly at the upright in heart. And I love verse 3. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? And that's such a question that I believe deserves some time for us to focus on. Because when it comes to the fight for our soul, there are going to be foundations that we stand on and we rely on that sometimes will crumble out from under us. They will. Sometimes they'll fall apart. This hasn't just started with us, though. You go back to people like King David. By the way, I want to thank Samantha Spurlock and Ellen Talbot and Leisha May. And there are a lot of others, but those three are our mainstays in our outdoor Bible. And let me tell you why I want to thank them, because there's a lot of work that goes into that. But when you can see all those kids, and Leisha May knows what I'm talking about, and those others do as well, when you can see those kids in those stadiums singing those songs and getting that pregame prep talk, you know, that pregame pep rally so we can go to class, and then I'm privileged to be in there teaching right now, and I may be filling in, I don't know, or I may be in there permanently right now, I don't know, but I'm glad to be in there. And this morning we're talking about this very story, and so I hope that those who are in my class were able to remember some of these things or hear some of these things. But what a great thing to be involved in, this laying a foundation for our children. That's a fight. And we'll talk more about that in a moment. But hear this. King David. King David was a man who relied on God. He was a man that fought. We know David as a great warrior. He stood before 9-foot-tall Goliath with a rock and a sling, but most of all God, and he defeated that giant. Here's a man who they laid the crown, God laid the crown on his head, on his family's head, and they reigned. He reigned as king of Israel, but he knew what it was like to have some foundations rattled. As the king, as the man after God's own heart, we remember that he rattled the foundations of that when he sinned with Bathsheba. The way you tell that story to fours and fives and even some younger ones is a little bit challenging. But the bottom line is, it's not right for a man or a woman to go after someone else's husband or wife. We know that. We know that's wrong. And so David rattled the foundations of his own family. He rattled those foundations. But he didn't just rattle the foundations of his own family. He rattled the foundations of Uriah's family. And because he was king of Israel who relied on God, he rattled the foundations of Israel. Think of the aftershock of that earthquake. Think of the aftermath of that destruction. David made a decision that was a dumb decision that had a long aftershock effect. Later on in his life, he understood rattled foundations even with his own children. His son Absalom, he understood the heartbreak of a destroyed father-son relationship. Absalom was his third son, David's third son. He was a very handsome man. We learned that in 2 Samuel 14:25. Now in all Israel, there was no one who was praised as much as Absalom for his good looks. From the sole of his foot to the crown of his head, there was no blemish in him. So what did Absalom do with this blessing from God? He used his good looks and charm to steal the hearts of Israel. He's stealing them away from his father, David. And because of that, he turned on his own father. David himself, king of Israel had to flee from his presence. He had to flee from his own son. David's family was in trouble. His life was in trouble. Jerusalem was in trouble yet again. The foundations were being rattled. The foundations were crumbling around them. But in all of this, you know what David did? He stayed righteous. What will the righteous do when the foundations are crumbled? What will they do? David fought. He stayed righteous. He didn't want anything to happen to his son, but ultimately his son Absalom died in battle. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? What can we do? What should we do? You see, there are going to come moments in our own lives, just like with King David. Maybe they're our own choices, maybe they're the choices of others around us, but there are going to be times, because we live in a world that Satan is the prince of. Let's remember that. Satan is not in hell. Satan is on this earth. He is roaming this earth. Now, one day, he will be bound there for all eternity. But right now, he's roaming this earth looking for souls whom he may devour. And because of that, he will rattle some foundations you're standing on. Jesus, though, being the awesome Lord that He is, He told us of such things when He said, "In this world you will have," Terry's words, "shaken foundations." Tribulation, literally. You will have trouble. You will have trials. You will have foundations that are going to shake all around you. He said, "But be of good cheer. How dare you, Lord, tell me to be happy in miserable times? Why should I be happy when my foundation and my house and my life is crumbling down?" He said, "For I have overcome this world." You see, Jesus Christ, that firm foundation, will never, ever crumble. That's what we've got to root in today. But there are going to be times when the foundations will collapse and crumble all around us. What will we do? I suggest to you today that we've got to fight. Well, what specific foundations? One that I talked in great detail about last week, I won't spend as much time on this week, but the family foundation. Again, I want to reemphasize that because there is, to me, nothing more critical to being able to keep the long line of Christianity going than by reaching our families. I can tell you that from my own personal family. Today, I sit in worship with both my brothers. Okay? We are here together today and we sit with our parents. Our parents are here today because my mom set with her parents. And we could go on. And that foundation, that line keeps going. Why? Because we're going to reach our families, right? That's our goal. That's our prayer. But sometimes the foundation crumbles. You know, if I were the devil, I preached a sermon on that years ago. If I were the devil, you know what I'd do? The very first thing I'd do is the very first thing he did. I would attack the family. You see, God made the family. And the devil would like nothing more than to continue slithering his way right through there. As I mentioned last week, it started in Genesis 3. Families are being destroyed. Why? Because number one, there's a lack of God. If I take God out of anything, I have chaos. If I take light out of anything, I have darkness. When I take God out of school, I have darkness. I have chaos. When I take God out of government, I have darkness. I have chaos. When I take God out of family, same thing. Same thing. Seek Him first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All these things shall be added unto you. That's food, clothing, and shelter, Matthew 6, 33 and previous. What else causes my foundation and my family to crumble? There's a lack of love. Talked about this last week. The last point we talked about was be affectionate. And that made it turn some heads. And we kind of joked about it. I got together at Jeff and Brandy's with a bunch of people last week. And we got together and we were sitting at a table and we talked about that affection. And we kind of joked about it or whatever. But guys, I'm serious. We've got to show agape love in our families. A love like, I'm going to love you no matter what. But that's happened. The devil pulled it away. And then we have a lack of respect. Husbands being ran down by their wives. Husbands talking about their wives behind their back and to their friends and bashing their children and children bashing their parents. Folks, I am tired of that, aren't you? You want to crumble the family? Then just start bashing one another. It's awful. Families are being destroyed all around us. Does that mean we then cave in with them? Uh-uh. No, no, 1,000 times no. Why is Terry preaching on families again? Because it's that important. We've got to make sure we're doing everything we can to hold that family together. Because it's not the norm doesn't mean it's okay. I tell my children all the time, I am dad, not best friend. Now, I love the fact that we're close and we can do things together that are fun. But when it comes down to it, I've got to make some unpopular decisions sometimes, even though it might not be the normal, cool thing to do. But I'm trying to hold the family foundation together. It's not right, but we've got to be right. It's not normal, but we've got to be abnormal. It's not cool, then we have to be uncool. You could get the point, right? We must continue to fight for the family. What else can be crumbling all around us? What other foundations are we trying to stand on? What about the founding foundations? The earth, the life, the world that we live in. What is that? The United States of America, a foundation that we stand on. Some of us could say we've lived long enough to say that that foundation may be crumbling. We're more divided now than ever. The devil is trying to make racism king of all. And I want you to know, I am so proud that in this congregation, we do not see color. I do not care. God does not care what color we are. We're here because of the blood of Jesus Christ. But I'm telling you, that is happening around us. They are trying to divide America by race, and the media is loving it. But most of all, the devil is. And there's other things that are going on. But do you know what happened? How we got here in 1492. Christopher Columbus set out to find a passage to the Far East. But having been convinced that Christ would return soon, that was in 1492, he felt it his calling to spread the knowledge of Christ wherever he might. He set sail to find a new passage, right? But then he felt like, oh, I've got to tell the gospel. I've got to tell people about Jesus. 73 days after setting sail across the Atlantic. You know what his crew said? They said, we don't want to do this anymore. And we're not going to listen to you. And we're not going to follow your orders anymore. So Mr. Columbus made a deal with them. He said, if they failed to discover land in 3 days, they would reverse course and return to Europe. He spent those 3 days in prayer, and he fasted. On the third day, they spotted land. Patrick Henry, the first post-colonial governor of Virginia, he once said, "It cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this great nation was founded not by religionists, but by Christians. Not on religions, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ." Benjamin Franklin and our earliest representatives, they gathered in 1787 in Philadelphia for the purpose of writing a constitution. It was one of the hottest summers on record during the days of Philadelphia. Days then turned into weeks. Weeks turned into months. When you put all that together, you know what happens? Tensions began to build. Tempers began to flare. But the oldest statesman there, well into his 80s, stood slowly on his old feeble bones, and he leaned on his cane. All conversation ceased. And that old gruff voice pierced the silence that day. He said, "I have lived, sir, a long time. And the longer I live, the more convincing proofs I see of this truth, that God governs in the affairs of men. And if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his notice, is it probable that an empire can rise without his aid? We have been assured, sir, in the sacred writings that except the Lord build, they labor in vain that build it. I firmly believe this, and I also believe that without his concurring aid, we shall succeed in this political building no better than the builders of Babel." Mr. Franklin then went on to suggest they open every session that day forward with prayer. And they did. And from that point forward, they wrote the greatest government document ever known to man. I wish I could say, my friends, that we still have that kind of faith in our government. Sadly, we don't. We live in a time when some person that lives in a luxurious life from a luxurious place like Hollywood, California, can be the leader of the media craze. We live in a time when it's okay to go into a clinic and kill an unborn child. We live in a time when no-fault divorce has made the divorce rate as astronomical as it is today. We live in a time when it's okay to go and marry someone from the same sex. We live in a time when sin is glorified and God is criticized. That's reality. That's where we are. I, like Bill, am thankful that I'm born in such a time as this. I'm thankful that I live in the comfort of the United States of America, where men and women, many who are sitting in this room, have kept me free. But let's not kid ourselves. We could look out and say the foundations are crumbling. What are we to do? We got to keep fighting. We've got to keep teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. We cannot let the devil win. We are here We are blessed. We were founded on the Christian principles, the gospel of Jesus Christ. It would be a shame for the church of our Lord to let that be in vain. But thirdly, this morning, we have family foundations crumbling, founding foundations crumbling. What do we do when we have faith foundations crumbling? The Hebrew writer reminded us that without faith, it is impossible to please God. I attend class from the comforts of wherever my Wi-Fi can pick up. At Fulton University right now, pursuing, Justin and I both, our master's degrees. And the professor of my class is a great man who I have really gotten to know very well and look forward to getting to know even better. He does a lot of great work at Fulton University. But there was a time in his life when he was disappointed with God. He doubted God. He was frustrated with God. He said the words to the book, Disappointment with God by Philip Yancey, is what brought him back. I'm only about an hour or two into that book, but I was so encouraged by what he taught us that I wanted to read it myself. You know why? Because I'm not disappointed with God, but I know people that are. I know people that have turned away because they felt like God let them down. They felt like God has just hurt them so bad. There are a lot of questions that we all have. There are a lot of answers we may not have. And there's going to come a point in time when we face our Golgotha. Jesus faced Golgotha. We're going to face our Golgotha. We're going to face Gethsemane in our shoes. I don't know what that's going to be. Maybe you've already gone through it. Maybe it's from your faith. Maybe it's from the foundations around you. Maybe it's from work. Maybe it's from health. Maybe it's from fill in the blank. But we're going to face challenging times. And our faith will be tested. What are we going to do? How are we going to respond? There's only one thing we can do. We've got to fight. We've got to fight. The rest of Psalm 11 as we get ready to close. The Lord is in His holy temple. Remember what he said. When the foundations destroy, what will the righteous do? Here's the rest of the story. The Lord is in His holy temple. Theo told us He's here today. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, His eyelids test the sons of men. The Lord tests the righteous, but the wicked and the one who loves violence, His soul hates. Upon the wicked, He will rain coals. Fire and brimstone and a burning wind shall be the portion of their cup. For the Lord is righteous. He loves righteousness. His countenance beholds the upright. What should the righteous do? According to this, we need to remain righteous. In order to do that, we've got to keep fighting. Three very quick promises today. Number one, the church will never be destroyed. You can put your roots in this foundation and know that it will never be destroyed. The winds may blow. The water may rise. But the church of our Lord will always stand. He made that promise to Peter and He made that promise to us. The gates of hell, the gates of Hades, the gates of anything you throw at it shall never destroy the church. Number two, God is still Lord. And He's still on His throne. And number three, He's going to be with us as long as we fight the good fight. Sodom and Gomorrah, it's destroyed. We remember that. Ezekiel said in Ezekiel 16:49, look, this was the iniquity of your sister Sodom. She and her daughter had pride, fullness of food, abundance of idleness. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. And they were haughty and committed abomination before me. Therefore, I took them away as I saw fit. That's why they were destroyed, God said. I suggest to you also they were destroyed because Abraham could not find 10 righteous people. Today, will God find 10,000 righteous? Will He find 10,000 standing firm and fighting? Would He find 1,000? Would He find 100? Would He find 10? The question that brings it all home to me is this right here. Will He find you and me? Today, what are you standing on? What are you fighting on? Are you fighting on the foundation of Jesus Christ? It's time to enter the fight. It's time to submit your life to Him. Be immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins. Or tonight, if you've done that, or today if you've done that, and you've just given up, it's time to come home. And we have the opportunity to do that right now together. We stand and sing.